I don't know if you've caught on to this or not, but we have been on a very special series the past couple of weeks that is probably the most important warfare of the human mind, warfare of the human soul, warfare of the human spirit teaching that I've ever done. And several months ago, the Holy Spirit gave me a revelation. I've taught on this about the return of the dark angel. And in that, I had something that came to me several years ago. The Lord spoke to me, and he said there are three weapons that most believers never use. And one in particular they absolutely never use because nobody teaches on it. And so I began to spend weeks up in my office researching this, and there's a chapter in my book on these weapons. But I'm going to show you one thing the Holy Spirit taught me. And you need to listen to this. The freedom of keeping your mouth shut. The freedom. Wait a minute. Well, that one don't interest me. Oh, it needs to interest you because 99% of the church world doesn't know how to do this. 99%. I'm serious. There's a few older godly people. I never heard my granddad Bava ever say anything negative about anybody in all the time I knew him. I never heard my grandma Bava talk negative about anybody. Never. And the Bible says if a person cannot bridle their tongue, their religion is in vain. If a person bridles their tongue, that's pure religion, is the ability to control what you're saying. Not just what you're... How many books have been written on the battlefield of the mind, the mind, the mind, the mind, the warfare of the mind? Okay. But the warfare is with the mouth, not just the mind. And that's where, that doesn't get taught on. Let me just say it this way, okay? Most of you know, if you watched this for years, or you know me personally, that my father was a pastor. My grandfather was a pastor. I'm fourth generation minister. And in our earlier denomination, I'm saying this in humor, so please don't write me hateful letters. Oh, you shouldn't be talking like that because you should watch your mouth. I'm watching my mouth because I'm going to use my mouth to teach you something. When we were growing up, we could not do a lot of things. And, you know, you couldn't do this, you couldn't do that, you couldn't wear this, you couldn't look like that. And I'm not going to get into all that. However, I noticed something, especially when I was called to preach at age 18, I noticed something. That while we were very strict on outward adornment and outward look and things, we didn't go to movies, we didn't go to dances, and I'm not saying that's right to do that. I'm just saying this is how we were raised. I noticed that everybody loved to talk. And they would get in circles. Brother, did you hear about... So, brother, Doc, is Doc, you know. All the preachers back then called each other Doc. Hey, Doc, what's up, Doc? Hey, Doc, good to see you, Doc. And I told him I was going to make me a set of preacher pants one day called Hey, Dockers. Of course, I didn't do that. But anyway, so I got to saying, they talk too much. Why do they get... And then the preacher they're talking about walks over, hey, Doc, good to see you, Doc. I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, what a hypocrite. I got so tired of it one time, I knew there was a man making negative statements about me. And I said to my buddy, hey, come with me. Let me go talk to this brother. And I walked right up to him and shook his hand. And I looked him in the eyes and said, I just want to know, you still bad-mouthing me behind my back? And I'm telling you, he turned purple. He turned red. He about quit breathing. And he didn't know what to say. I said, I want an answer. I know what you've been saying. Why do you go behind my back? Why don't you say it to my face? When you approach someone like that, and they know they're guilty, you'd be surprised how it shuts off gossip real fast. Let me give you scriptures. By your words you will be justified, by your words you will be condemned, Matthew 12:37. Keep my tongue from evil, my lips from speaking guile, Psalms 34:13. That means from speaking deceit. The power of life and death are in the tongue, Proverbs 28:21. Whoever keeps his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from trouble, Proverbs 21:23. God hates a proud look and a lying tongue. And then we find that the Bible says this, he that has a perverse tongue will fall into mischief. Proverbs, I'm making a correction here. 17:20, a lying tongue hates those that are afflicted by it. So Peter's tongue got him in trouble. Three times he denied, he actually lied. So he lied three times. His tongue got him trouble. And then he said, if I know the man, let me be. And Mark's gospel gives you the Greek word. Let me be anathema. And anathema is a curse. It's a self-curse. In other words, what Peter did when he said that statement to those men that he didn't know Christ, and if I know him, let him be. Some people call it anathema or anathema. It's an Aramaic word. Here's what he was saying. I put a curse on me. I curse myself from the synagogue. I curse myself from the house of Israel if I know this man. Boy, that's pretty low. And your head rabbi is the one that has to reverse that curse. And that's what Jesus did at the Sea of Galilee when he said to Peter three times, do you love me more than these? He took that self-curse, that anathema, off of Peter and restored him back to the apostleship and the discipleship. What a beautiful story that is in John 21. Now, the Bible says this, that to lay aside all guile, and that word guile means deceit from the mouth, deceitfulness from the mouth. It says there was no guile in Christ's mouth. It says refrain from evil guile. Now, look at these scriptures right here, James 1:26. If any man seem to be religious and bridles not, or that means control his tongue, but he deceives his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. So James, an apostle, says, if you don't control your mouth, your whole religion's in vain. James 3:6-8, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defiles the whole body, sets on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and birds and serpents and things of the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is unruly and unruly evil, and it's full of deadly poison. Now, I want to say something about social media. Before social media came along, information was passed along, maybe by paper, maybe by the nightly news, or face-to-face. Now with social media, everybody is their own journalist. Everybody is their opinionator. That's a word, you know, opinionator. My word. An opinionator. Hey, I'm a media influencer. You know, they got 50 views. I'm an influencer. Oh, you're not influencing anybody. You're a legend in your own mind. Let me just say this. In my opinion, maybe your best friends are, but nobody's interested in your trip to the coffee shop unless they're bored out of their mind and they have nothing to do all day except sit at a laptop and see everybody's business. Number two, I've never understood, and I do understand there are people that like to comment. I love to get comment from, they call them top fans, people that follow us on Facebook. You know, we like that interaction. But there are people that don't like a person, and they've got to give you their opinion and post all of their opinions and their opinion. I'm just telling you, I've met people that said, my family don't have nothing to do with me. And then I listened to them talk, and I understood why. I would never want to hang around that. They are depressing. They are negative. They are hateful. Every comment they give about anything, they see the bad in everything. You know, is the cup half full or the cup half empty? To positive people, it's half full. To negative people, it's half empty. To people who are super negative, they don't even see the cup. And so I'm going to give you something here. There's no need to make hateful and negative remarks on everybody's YouTube channel. You're just showing, look, if you prayed 10% of the time you spent on social media giving your opinion, we could have a massive revival in the United States if every Christian would do that. So let me just tell you how I am. You almost never, ever see me comment on anybody's anything. Now, I have text. I have friends I text. I have pastor friends I text. That's how I stay in contact with people. I'll just use my phone, pick up the phone, call them or text them. That's my communication. But if I see something I don't agree with, well, I think I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. Yeah, you and 1,000 other people. Opinions are like noses. Everybody's got one. And some are bigger than others, and some opinions are smaller than others. Hello. My point is to show you this, that the Word of God is what matters. What God has stated in His Word is what actually matters. So there is a weapon, and I want you to hear me now, that very, very few people use, and it's called the weapon of silence. I saw something one day, and it honestly blessed me. There was a minister, he's a dear friend, by the way, And a conversation, a question was asked about another ministry to one of his relatives. It was another relative. They said, hey, did you hear? He turned and he said, I'll see you in a minute. And he walked away. He didn't want to hear anything anybody had to say. He wasn't going to comment on anything. He says, people just need to pray. And I thought, that is what we're talking about here on the blessing, the freedom you have of keeping silence. Now, here's what happens. I'm going to tell you what happens. When you have been verbally ambushed by someone, it doesn't matter if it's a family member, if it's someone allegedly that's a friend, ex-staff people, if you have been verbally ambushed and you're seeing things said that are totally misrepresented or an outright lie, where someone has built up an imagination in their head and this is a fact, and it's not a fact, your first tendency will be to correct the misinformation. And can I tell you, when it is misinformation, you have every right to correct a lie. You have every right to correct misinformation. Okay? But here's something that I want to tell you that happened to me. And I want you to listen to me, because I'm going to be careful saying this. But I want to say something. This has been years and years ago. Years and years ago, I was under a physical attack that I've never been under in my life. I had no energy, no strength in my body. I was taking vitamins. I was taking pellets to help me. Nothing. And I literally had burnt myself out. Well, right about that time, wouldn't you know it, another attack comes and another attack comes. And I just said, you know what? I'm done with this. Why do I have to put up with belligerent people? Why do I have to put up with people that you give money to and you help them and you support them? They're honestly, about half the time, they're the first people to run away and turn on you. I don't know why people do that, but it's the truth. I told Pam, I said, why should I help anybody again? I've helped all kinds of people, paid their house payments when they couldn't, when they were living in cars, and they act like this? You're kidding me. So anyway, we went through all this. So I decided, the Lord spoke to me actually, so I want you to go to the ISO building. That's the T.L. Lowry Global Building. This was 1:30 in the morning, I think, when he told me this. And I want you to pray. Well, I knew from the Bible that Jesus had spent 3 hours in Gethsemane before they crucified him, praying. And I didn't know if I could make it through 3 hours, but I was determined I was going to do what Jesus did. As I began to pray, okay, and I began to seek God, something began to happen in my spirit that was very, very unique. The Lord spoke to me and he said these words, I want you to be silent. And he said this, if you speak out and try to fight, I will let you fight the battle yourself and it will turn out however. If you will say nothing, then I will fight the battle behind the scenes. And all I want to say is, that's exactly what God did. It was all behind the scenes. Satan and the people he uses always make their voices and opinions public. Those who are godly people let God work behind the scenes. Satan does his work publicly. God does his work privately. And in this whole situation, and some of the situation I was dealing with, and the people involved still don't know this, but there was one person that broke 3 federal laws. They don't know that they did, that could go to prison 10 to 30 years. And you know what? We choose not to even go there. We chose, not going to go there. There were other people that were investigated by detectives and they were exposed. One person in particular down in Texas, I mean, exposed unbelievably. Everybody thought this was some prophetess. Oh, no, it wasn't a prophetess. It was a prophet liar. And they got exposed, okay? So what I learned was this. I learned that the reason God wants you to be silent is so that it gives him the opportunity to step in. As long as you are involved and you have your hand on it, he will let you keep your hand on your situation. I hope I'm helping somebody here. So as long as you want to control the outcome and you're trying to control, he'll let you do that. And you know what? When you're in charge, you will operate by your emotion and you will operate by your flesh and you'll lose friends. Instead of gaining people, because people try to do that, they try to gain people by their side, you're going to lose friends because they're going to see through the facade. They're going to see through what is happening. And so the reason you keep silent in a lot of situations, and I want everybody to hear me, the reason you just say, you know what, God needs to handle this, because if you start speaking, there are people that have done things that are really bad. I know of people that in their former day, now this is years ago, this may be 40, 45 years ago, they were drug dealers who murdered people. Their father murdered people. They tortured people, okay? Now, probably the law's already passed. You know, if they're saved and it's under the blood, it stays, I understand that, it stays under the blood, and it should, because Paul was a murderer of Stephen, but God forgave him and he became an apostle, but he still had to live with that on his conscience. So there's people that still have to live with what they did on their conscience, and probably the people they murdered went to hell and they were responsible for that back in the day before they knew the Lord. But you would have to bring up people's past. You would have to bring up things they did in the past. You would have to embarrass them. So God sometimes says, you know what? They will answer to me at the Bema judgment seat in Revelation 11:18, when every idle word will be accounted for. Why should I try to present a case? Why should you try to present a case? And it becomes idle words and it becomes judgmental. And then next thing you know, with the same judgment, your judgment, the Bible says it's coming back to you. Then you get into unforgiveness. And when you don't forgive your brother, God doesn't forgive you. Read Matthew 6. So you get yourself in trouble by continually running your mouth. And I'm telling you, the book of Proverbs. Now, let me tell you what Jesus did. The reason this silence is a weapon is I saw it in the ministry of Jesus. When Jesus was arrested, he went to his trial. Listen to John 14:30. He tells his disciples, I will not talk much with you from henceforth, for the prince of this world is coming, but he hath nothing in me. Matthew 26:53. He was told by an angel, if you open your mouth and you want to call on 12 legions, which is 72,000 angels, God will put a whole stop to this. Jesus knew if he was not quiet, that flesh part of him could rise up and say, I'm not doing this. So you know what he did? Mark 15:4, he is standing before Pilate. They are questioning him and he is not opening his mouth. That's a fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 53, where it says, as a lamb to the slaughter and a sheep before the shearer, yet he opened not his mouth. He's fulfilling prophecy, but he also knows if he says too much, Satan, who's the prince of this world, is going to know the plan of redemption is at the cross. As far as Satan's concerned and the world was concerned, listen to what the Bible said. Whom none of the princes of the world knew the plan. Had they known the plan, they'd have never crucified the Lord of glory. Jesus knew Satan did not know that through the cross and resurrection, he would be eternally defeated. And Jesus would come out swinging the keys of death and hell. He didn't know that. Had he known it, he would have prevented Jesus from going to the cross. Okay? So the reason that Jesus did not open his mouth, he did not expose God's plan or give Satan a heads up on what could happen, and that's why he kept his mouth shut. Now, let me say this to you. People, there is a number of people in the United States that are absolute narcissists, and what a narcissist does is they gaslight. So what they do is if they're not affecting you and you're moved on, they want to say something or do something to try to get you to respond, and when you don't respond, it makes them even madder. It really does, okay? So people want to provoke you to anger. Now, when the Bible says Satan provoked David to number Israel, David was so provoked, he numbered Israel. He didn't collect the half shekel. 70,000 men, I think it was, died. All because he got provoked. So David did something when he was provoked that caused him great stress. Now, if you want to drive your enemies insane, number one, pray for them, and number two, forgive them. They will go berserk when you just say, I forgive you. I'm not holding nothing against you. They go berserk. I don't know what to do at that point. Because then it puts them in the spot of having to forgive you, which some people are not going to do. I'm going to tell you something. I know people that said that they had a heart attack and went to hell because of unforgiveness, because God said, that's why you're here. Don't go there. I'm just telling you, do not go there. Now, three things I want to tell you. You will never have to apologize for what you did not say. You will never have to answer if you walk away. In other words, when they're gossiping, you just walk away. Number three, silence is a weapon of war that keeps the enemy in ignorance of what God's plan is. So there is an ability to guard your mouth and be careful what you say, because I always go back to this verse. Every idle word shall men give an account of on that day. It's men and women. Idle means unemployed, useless, or worthless. Let your conversations be right, be pure, be on the things of God, be edifying, be building up. And when people say, what do you think about it? Say, I just pray about it. No comment. Seriously, there is a blessing in your spirit of keeping your spirit pure through the weapon of silence. There's a lot more about this other two weapons that's in my book, a chapter in my book. I want you to get that. Watch this and I'll tell you how.
In the dark kingdom, there are crafty, familiar spirits linking back to your ancestors that continue to design seasonal attacks, targeting your family on specific timed moments. However, armed with this stunning insight, you can track their timing to cut off their intended plots. In Perry Stone's gripping new book, Return of the Dark Angel, he uncovers how your family may be encountering supernatural warfare involving an unclean or familiar spirit, character weaknesses, dangerous bondages, secret sin cycles, and death cycles that you can now unmask and expel from your present and future lineage. Perry will explain how he was informed that a dark angel was assigned against him every 12 years. Through months of investigation, Perry discovered these 12-year attack cycles, including a strange pattern in his Italian family. For over 120 years, family deaths occurred in a strange 12-year pattern. Through family documentation, Perry discovered the trail of an ancient spirit linked with his early ancestors' involvement in the Italian Black Hands Mafia, including making and selling moonshine during Prohibition in Central West Virginia, which caused early deaths. In Perry's book, he reveals topics such as My Besetting Sin and Personal Troubles, The 12-Year Cycles of the Dark Angel Explained, The Strange 12-Year Death Angel Visitation, A Family Sin That Cost the Lives of Two Children, Breaking a Generational Pornography Spirit, Why the Enemy Targets Your Firstborn Child More Than Others, The Need to Take a Ride in the Hills to Avoid a Hearse, How and Why Satan Commissions Hindering Spirits to Obstruct God's Will in Your Life, How to Chart Out Your Personal and Family Attacks to Prevent Them, How Your Weakness Can Become Your Strength, Healing Deep Soul Wounds. Discover the undetected and most effective weapons Satan is using right now, preparing for a sudden counterattack. Using three weapons most Christians never use in a serious conflict. Seven life lessons you must learn now to win in the end. Armed with this amazing knowledge, you can track and detect upcoming plots and cut them off, shutting the door in advance on their strategy. When ordering this book, Perry will also include a 2-audio CD teaching, Christian Cannibals in the Church, Biting and Devouring One Another in God's Name. This is an explosive expose, exposing a dangerous social media feeding frenzy. Every believer must hear this timely, detailed teaching. This audio teaching is available for immediate download when you order from our website. Order offer DA149, which includes Perry's new book, Return of the Dark Angel, and new 2-audio CD teaching, Christian Cannibals in the Church, by calling toll-free 1-888-21-BREAD. That's 1-888-212-7323, or order online at perrystone.org. You can also write to us at Perry Stone, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee, 37320, and enclose your gift of $30 or more to request package offer DA149. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
I think it's probably been about 2 to 2.5 years since we've had such a unique offer for our Manifest watchers and viewers. Return of the Dark Angel, the book, and you've heard me talk about this, and Christian Cannibals in the Church. One of the things that the danger of biting and devouring one another that Paul alluded to in the book of Galatians is that when you begin to do that and you begin to take on this spirit of bitterness toward other people, it leads to unforgiveness. And unforgiveness is not the unpardonable sin, but unforgiveness hinders your own forgiveness. Jesus says, if you forgive others, I'll forgive you. But if you do not forgive everyone his brother's trespasses, neither will I forgive you your sins. That's very serious. There are people that I have heard of, and I've heard their testimonies of how that they were under heart surgery or in a car accident, and they left their body to be absent from the body. The Bible talks about being absent from the body, and their spirit descended in a tunnel in the underworld, and they were told that they were brought there because they had unforgiveness. And it's a frightening thing to think about, that being bitter and unforgiving could actually cause a person to forfeit God forgiving them. Now, that does away with a lot of traditional church theology that you hear taught out there, you know. One guy said, well, once you repent, you never have to repent again. Well, why did Jesus tell seven churches, five of them to repent, and two of them were okay? Don't be careful of all this crazy nonsense that's going on out there. Get this while it's available. It's going to change your thinking. It's going to change your eyes are going to be open to some things I think you've never thought about before. All right. Clinton, Tennessee, August 1 through the 3rd. Covenant Life Church, Pastor Tony McAfee. Now, you folks above Knoxville area, and you folks up in the Kentucky area, drive down. That's right in that area. It's right there in a great area. Come and see me. Come join me for these. Christ Temple, August 8th through the 10th, Huntington, West Virginia. All you folks from the Ohio, it's right near the Ohio line there. Get on over here. You know we only come to that area one time a year, so come and be a part of this meeting, please. Family Faith Church, Willis, you guys know we love to come to Texas. Texas is one of my favorite states. Willis, Texas, Jeff Hackelman, the 15th and the 16th of August. And then we're coming to Family Faith Church Huntsville campus on the 17th. I said 15th, 16th, and then 17th. Just go to the website, you'll get it. And we have a whole lot of other places we're coming to. Now, don't forget, our main event is coming up before long, and it'll be October 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th. We're going to have the best of a camp meeting revival and the best of prophecy. We've never done this before where we converge both of them. I'll tell you about that later. Go to perrystone.org for information.